Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You're listening to All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. This hour, we've been airing some of the highlights from our July Get Lit with All of It book club event with author Colson Whitehead. We spent the month reading his Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, The Nickel Boys. When we were booking a musical guest for the event, we were looking for someone with a few things. Someone who could, you know, hold their own alongside a two-time Pulitzer winner. Someone who could give some insight into the times we're living in. And of course, someone with music chops. I'm happy to say when we figured out who we wanted, he said yes. John Batiste is the piano virtuoso who heads the house band on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. He's the music director for The Atlantic Magazine, the co-artistic director of the National Jazz Museum in Harlem, and the recipient of the American Jazz Museum Lifetime Achievement Award. He also wrote music for the upcoming Pixar movie Soul. For years, he's led what he calls, quote, love riot street parades. But in the last few months, he's been leading protest marches and concerts. On Juneteenth, he hosted a voter registration recital at Grand Army Plaza in Brooklyn. His most recent album is a collaboration with guitarist Corey Wong called Meditations. But before we spoke with John, we heard an exclusive performance and a meditation that he also recorded for his 2018 album, Hollywood Africans. Here's John Batiste with What a Wonderful World.
Hello, I'm John Batiste, and I would like to invite you to close your eyes and meditate with me. Take a deep breath in. We're going to meditate on the beauty and grandeur of this celestial ball floating in the middle of space that we call the planet Earth. One of my favorite songs. And let's consider the lyric. I see trees of green and red roses too. I see them bloom for me. Babies cry. what a wonderful world.
That was musician John Batiste with an exclusive performance of What a Wonderful World at our July Get Lit with All of It book club event. Since John's interpretation of that classic song was unique, I began our conversation by asking him how he landed on that particular arrangement of What a Wonderful World.
I wanted to make something that was a meditation, something that gave people a sense of solace and peace in a time where the world was in strife and it's continued, as we've seen. But I think that music always can bring people that sense of peace. You know, I'm looking at the ocean now. I'm so happy to think about the world and how beautiful this celestial ball in the middle of space is that we call home, and thinking about how we can take care of it better. You know, what can we do to be better with Mother Earth? And that song, to me, channels the lyric and the intention of the lyric that it was in Louis Armstrong's version, but I just wanted to bring it out to the forefront. You know, that's what it's all about.
On our show every day, we do a meditation. What does meditation do for you?
Meditation changes your state. It makes you feel as if you can be what you dream of being. It makes you feel that your intention is it can be a reality. That's really what meditation is to me. It's the transformation from within to without.
I want to talk about some of the work that you've been doing around this civil rights movement that we're all going through. You've been leading protests. I want to make sure I get the name right. The We Are a Peaceful Protest March with Music.
That's right. That's right.
You, as a public figure and a musician, how do you think about what your role should be in this moment?
I think you have to speak to your truth in the sense of your heritage, why you make art in the first place, and what is the point for you beyond yourself and your elevation? What's your bigger why? And in moments like this, it pulls on all those things. It pulls on your heritage. How much do you want to protect that or represent that in the public space? How much do you care about the greater good of the public through your work? Has it been there all along? For me, it's always been a theme. So in moments like this, it's like, well, put your money where your mouth is. What are you made of? And I decided that, you know, I had to step out. And it just was very organic. You know, it didn't feel like I was meeting a moment. It just felt like the culmination of everything that had been going on up until that point anyway.
You've had these voter registration projects under the banner of We Are. And on Instagram, you wrote that We Are is a resurrection, a reimagining of the I Am a Man protest poster used in the Memphis sanitation worker strike of 68.
Yes.
When you think about the message behind We Are, how do you want to see people take that message and then take it into action?
I think people should take their problems and take all of the things that they're feeling strife about and find a place for catharsis. Because I think once you have release, if you can find that, if you're blessed enough to find that through music, through friendship, through prayer, through any form of release from the spiritual realm, then you can have a constructive approach to problem solving.
In the book Nickel Boys, the main character returns again and again to the speeches of Dr. King. It's very important for him. It very much centers him. Mm-hmm. He plays a record of Dr. King's, one of his speeches, till it's scratched. Was there something, is there something that you go to, some poem, some piece of music, some speech, when you need to just be fortified?
There are so many. There's so much genius in the course of humanity. There's been so many people who have spoken to the truth and spoken their truth. And that is also empowering when someone speaks to who they are, blemishes and all. I have, Zora Neale Hurston, Toni Morrison, Mahalia Jackson, Sam Cooke. I mean, modern prophets, you know, Kendrick Lamar is someone. It's endless for me. The range of expression, I think, will never end. And that's what makes it beautiful. We just have to know where to look.
You were kind enough to provide us another performance of Crescent City Piano Suite. What's the story behind this?
Well, we have a lot of professors in New Orleans piano tradition. You know, New Orleans piano tradition is rich in the same way as the New Orleans trumpet tradition and the New Orleans drum tradition. It's kind of like the Trinity, you know, the drums and the brass, the trumpet, you know, and the piano. And I really wanted to create a piece that was an amalgam of all of the piano professors who I've been influenced by the most. James Booker, Alan Toussaint, Professor Longhair, Jelly Roll Morton, and blending a composition of mine from the Hollywood Africans recording entitled Nocturne No. 1 in D minor. So this is a suite that includes my composition along with this amalgam of my heroes. And it really is a special thing to approach the piano like this because I feel I'm calling their spirits and it's coming through the piano and I can sit with them and we're trading licks. So, you know, I don't play this the same way every time. So this performance is a one of a kind.
Those were some highlights of my conversation with musician John Batiste at our July Get Lit with All of It book club event. Here is John Batiste with Crescent City Piano Suite.
Thank you.
That was John Batiste performing Crescent City Piano Suite at our July Get Lit with All of It book club event. You're listening to All of It. I'm Allison Stewart, and I will meet you back here after the news.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.